Ringers.
Hello, I'm Jim White. You're watching Sky Sports News. The noisy buffer between you and your empty, empty life. When you cross over live now to the FA headquarters for a press conference with the FA chairman, Greg Dyke.
Yeah, good afternoon. The behaviour of certain England fans in France has shocked everyone. As you'll know, some of our supporters have been seen drinking espressos whilst reading a newspaper. Pottering around nice little bric-a-brac shops and visiting local art galleries. Now, I want to emphasise that this is just a tiny, tiny minority. The vast majority of England fans have been behaving in exactly the way we'd expect of them, by getting blind drunk and singing songs about wars from the early to middle part of the last century.
Greg, what about the language that some of these people are using?
Well, there have been incidences of England fans actually speaking to the locals in French, but once again, that is a tiny, tiny minority. I'm assured that overwhelmingly our fans have been communicating with the French by shouting at them loudly in English or saying things like, "Oi Jean-Pierre, quattro birro, silver plate."
Greg, what's your message then to these fans?
It's quite simple. Be safe, be sensible, be insufferable. And above all, be sick on your own shoes. Thank you very much.
Hello. You've reached Prince Charles's telephone. I'm very terribly sorry I can't take your call right now. But please, leave a message after the ethically sourced organic beep.
Charles, it's Mummy. Just a quickie. Thank you so much for my birthday present. Isn't modern technology a marvel? A waterproof toaster. Who'd have thought? One can't wait to enjoy one's tea cake in the bath. Bye!
Hello, I'm Gordon Brown, and I'd like to talk to you about politics. Don't worry, you haven't hit your head and woken up in 2007. I'm still not the Prime Minister anymore.
And I'm Nicky Morgan, a substitute teacher perpetually caught in a tornado.
You know, there's been a great deal of talk about lack of passion in the Remain campaign. They wanted some upbeat and charismatic figures to present the positive case for Remain, so naturally, they went for us.
So we're making an impassioned appeal for a concept that we truly believe in, reluctantly putting up with the EU.
Hello, I'm Sir John Major. And I'm taking time off from being the punchline to every joke about Edwina Curry for the past 20 years to tell you to remain reluctantly in the EU. I can tell you that today the embers of passion within me have not gone out. They burn just as weakly and half-heartedly as they did all those years ago.
Hello, I'm George Osborne, and this fight is the reason that I got into politics, to inspire people to vote for the better of two pretty terrible options. We want to ensure that the future for all our children is truly sort of okay. I mean, not brilliant. I've made sure that's not going to happen. Just fractionally better than if we left.
Here at Remain, we have a dream. It's not a particularly exciting dream. It's like the kind when you think you're at school again and you've forgotten your PE kit and then you find it and you're all like, phew, that was a close one. And then... then you remember that you actually didn't even have PE on that day. Like I say, not an exciting dream.
So, next Thursday, take the bold, inspirational choice.
Remain. It's not great, but anything else would be a bit of a faff.
Yes, hello.
Boris, it's your old mate, Nigel Farage.
I see, Nigel, you were gay.
No, let me speak. Now, we're Leave campaign buddies, and I'm basically in your cabinet. We agree in everything. We stick it to Brussels, tighter borders, Enoch Powell had the right idea, reduce government waste.
Holy Methuselah, Nigel, let me stop you right now.
We're more similar than you think. You called Obama half-Kenyan. I've got a nickname for my black neighbour. Now, we're Leave Campaign bosom buddies. We need to spend an enormous amount of time together. I've got a lads' weekend planned. A few yards of ale, Zorb football, booze cruise down the Thames, bit of nautical argy-bargy with Bob Geldof. Then stand shirtless on the cliffs of Dover shouting, not today, thank you. Then back in time for last orders.
Nige. Look, I'm sorry, but I'm off campaigning all week in Hull.
Marvellous. Lads on tour. See you there.
What did I say, Hull? I meant the Hebrides.
I'll be there in a jiffy. First round's on you. Mine's a creme de menthe. Easy on the creme. I'm not a woofter.
Nigel, no. Stop it. I am not your friend.
Oh, OK. Maybe Mummy was right. I wasn't born to have friends. Never mind, eh? Oh, by the way, have you got Priti Patel's number?
Thank you. Everyone's been coming up and congratulating me on England's last gasp 2-1 win against Wales. But what nobody seems to realise is that I'm ruddy furious. Why couldn't they just draw limply like I told them to? That's why I was hired. And also, of course, for diversity reasons, as England have never been managed by an elderly owl before. I mean, Daniel Blinking Sturridge, that Judas, I can barely face him at the moment. Well, that's not strictly true, as I can, of course, turn my head 360 degrees. At next week's game, I'll have to find a new way not to win. Perhaps if we're drawing, I'll pop all the footballs with my beak so no-one can score. Or I could play Raheem Sterling for the full 90 minutes. Right, that's all from me. Ta-ra, and to it, and to move.
Hello and welcome to This Week. I'm Andrew Neil, the thinking woman's Jimmy Cranky. On the show this week, a hamster who controls people's minds through telekinesis, an aspidistra which has the power of speech, and Diane Abbott.
Andrew, your incredulous tone towards me only proves that you are worse than Chairman Mao. Which isn't that hard, by the way, because Chairman Mao was great.
So, Diane, Jeremy Corbyn, he supports the EU. So why his total lack of enthusiasm?
But Andrew... Andrew, you have to understand Jeremy like I do. Inside, he's a very passionate man. I remember one Sunday in 1978, in the throes of our young love, I suggested abandoning our Brixton squatters rally to go to Do It All to pick curtains for our socialist two up, two down. And Jeremy stared at me out of the corner of his eye, and he sighed and said, "If we must." I knew on the inside he was a boiling mass of enthusiasm, but on the outside he looked like a man who couldn't care less.
Well, yes, I can see that.
And but there was that other time, Andrew, during a sponsored lentil hurl to raise money for a new wigwam for Greenham Common, when I drew Jeremy to one side and asked him to marry me. I knew that inside he was very excited by the prospect and was already thinking which Palestinian faction should act as his best man. Which part of Hackney we would go for our honeymoon. But on the outside, he looked decidedly underwhelmed. And the same, actually, with the wedding itself, when he didn't turn up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Diane, you make a good case, but it's obvious to the whole country he's not excited by the EU. What can be done to arouse his passion?
Well, from memory... What really gets Jeremy's juices flowing are discussions on the Marxist-Leninist theory regarding the redistribution of wealth, standing on drafted platforms with Len McCluskey, but most of all, wet Sunday afternoons spent rummaging around Oxfam. And one time, Jeremy found a Paul Weller EP in an oversized Austin Reed jacket for under a fiver. And after that, he was more animal than man.
Useful advice there for the President of the European Council, Donald Tusk.
Oh, and do tell Donald Tusk, the safe word is Bay of Pigs.
You're through to Donald J. Trump. Some of my best friends are women and Muslims. Leave a message.
Mr. Trump, the Queen here. Just a quickie. I got your note to say my birthday present would arrive in November, but to be perfectly honest, one wouldn't know where to put Mexico. Or perhaps we could swap it for Cornwall. No one uses it. Well, actually, Charles does, to make oatcakes nobody can afford, but he's used to disappointment. Bye!
They are the nation's crack team of extremely British superheroes. Stewart, McKellen, Bennett, and Dench, dedicated to fighting injustice and getting themselves the best table at the Ivy. They are the National Treasurers. In their base deep beneath the BAFTA headquarters, the Treasurers assemble at a crucial moment in the nation's history.
It's wonderful how many great stars are backing Remain. Cumberbatch, Bill Nye, Helena Bonham Carter, not to mention Paloma Faith.
Isn't that a brand of toilet tissue?
Well, we creative types all understand the importance of Europe.
Absolutely. I'm always extolling Europe's virtues as I'm flying over it to my home in the Hollywood Hills.
Thankfully, last week's opinion polls showed Remain still have a narrow lead.
Let's cross our fingers it holds.
Oh, no. That's the Eddie Izzard alarm. He has escaped.
He can't have.
I told you we should have devised some sort of holodeck.
Oh, shut up, Patrick, you big whoopsie.
Oh, oh, ah, jam, oh, baked potatoes, oh, oh, yes. You locked me in! Oh, you naughty penguins! Oh, but look! Luckily, I was able to pick the lock with a wandering flight of fantasy about, oh, ants going on a caravanning holiday to Bessie-Coward.
It was nothing personal, Eddie. It's just whenever you start supporting a campaign, the vote goes tits up.
Livingstone versus Boris. Twice. Miliband at the last election.
Where it comes to politics, you're like an amulet of doom that needs to be thrown into the fiery pits of Mordor.
No, no, rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. Look, I did Question Time last week and everyone loved me in my pink beret. Right, I'm off to a rally where I'll stand next to Ed Miliband looking like his scary aunt. Ooh, jam.
Oh, no. Look at the opinion pollometer. 5 points behind Brexit. And Izzard has only said the word fish to a passing reporter so far.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Judy, darling, you don't mean...
Oh, yes. An open letter to the Guardian signed by the National Treasurers.
Oh, those poor Leave campaigners. They won't know what's hit them.
Hello, Michael Gove.
Gove, you old slag. Straight to voicemail 18 times. It's almost like you're trying to tell me something.
Look, I'm very busy practicing my human man face in the mirror. What do you want?
No, no, no. Let me speak. I'm going down the list for the Leave campaign party. I've asked Boris, Suzanne Evans, Liam Fox, Chris Grayling and Big Johnny Whittingdale.
Right, right. And who's actually coming?
Twiggy, Chico, Basil Brush and one of the Chuckle Brothers. It'll be a great laugh and a chance to hang out with my fellow legitimate politicians. I've set up a pub quiz. Our team's called Neil and Quiz Team Hamilton. The Hamiltons love pub quizzes because you have to pay cash for questions.
Look, Nigel, I appreciate your help securing the vote, but we're not friends.
Oh, maybe Mummy was right. Maybe her and Papa should have left me in the woods. Oh, well, Nigel can drink on his own. Mine's a Singapore sling, by which I mean I'll sling all the Asians out the pub and enjoy my pint of London pride and peace. By the way, while we're here, have you got Esther McVeigh's number?
You've
you're listening to Today with me, Sarah Montague.
And me, John Humphreys.
Later in the programme, we'll be talking to Sir Philip Green, who appeared before MPs following the collapse of BHS. He described the £275 million pension black hole as being about 2.5 yachts.
But first, the EU. For the past month, the referendum campaign has raged with politicians from all sides of the Tory party, making the case for remain or leave, while Jeremy Corbyn booked his summer holidays and watched reruns of Citizen Smith on Gold.
The Remain camp has been criticised for what has been dubbed Project Fear. They've warned us that voting Brexit will mean house prices falling, pensions slashed, taxes rocketing, a Great Depression, World War III, and white walkers coming to the houses of Westeros. David Cameron joins me now.
Yeah, Sarah, look, Project Fear was a bit of a disaster. So we're replacing it with Project Shock.
Project Shock?
Look, we've realised that we're certain to lose because of the large number of ignorant xenophobes who tend to vote as fast as their mobility scooters can carry them to the polling booth. But this time, it's going to be a different kettle of fish, mainly because the Daily Mail has told them that the EU are forcing us to catch our fish in kettles.
So what will Project Shock achieve?
Well, Sarah, let me put it simply. Boo!
Boo!
There you have it.
You're going to startle old people to death?
I know, look, I know, it's a bit of a departure. We normally just freeze them to death, but we need to cull the richer ones as well.
I can't believe you think that's actually a...
Oh, sorry, dear, got to take this. Yep. What's that? That boo just got rid of a few thousand. Not enough to make a difference. Never mind. I'll have another go. Hey, wake up, Reg. The gypsies are going through your shed again. Hey, Mike and Droitwich, Sainsbury's have got to stop stocking Shipham's crab paste. Hello, old people everywhere. They've just cancelled Countdown. There's going to be a gay kiss in the Archers. The council is building a wind farm next to your house. And a mosque! Phew, right there. I think we'll have a level playing field now.
Prime Minister, thank you.
Thank you, and boo!
Thank you! Shocking old people to death. Surely the most wretched election strategy yet. Don't you agree, John? John?
I had a feeling John was a Shipham's crab paste man.
You have reached Vladimir Putin. I didn't do it. And if I did, you can't prove it.
Hello, Vladimir. It's the Queen here. Just a quickie. Thanks terribly for the lovely birthday gift. I must say, it's a very striking portrait. You, in a mink G-string, choke-slamming a grizzly bear. Remarkable. Hard to imagine, really, where your football fans get their inspiration. Toodle pip.
Newsbeat. You're listening to Newsbeat. First, the EU referendum. There are concerns that young people won't exercise their right to vote. We took our Voty McVoteface team out and asked young people on the street why they won't be voting.
They all talk about leaving Europe, but like no one says where we'll go if we do leave. Yes to Ibiza, no to Afghanistan.
Like, I can't be bothered voting, because voting doesn't change anything, does it? Well, except the result.
So there you have it. That's why we at Radio 1 have to play ads like this.
What do you like doing with your friends? Going for gigs? That's cool. Snapchat and Facebook? That's cool. Skateboarding? That's cool. Or snowboarding? That's cool. Hey, but you know what's also cool? Democracy. Yeah, democracy. That's so cool. And here's something else that's even more cool. A 1980s celebrity.
Hey kids, do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry?
But, darlings, listen, by not voting on June 23rd, karma, karma, into the voting booths.
If you don't vote right, it'd be rotten. Johnny Rotten. There'll be anarchy in the UK, right? Right, what is this, bollocks? And there was me thinking those butter ads would be the low point of my career.
And if that's not cool enough for you to put on your sneakers and vote, here's an animated talking animal.
This is important. You have to compare what the rival camps are promising you, and then in the end, opt for the one who will give you a free cuddly George Osborne or Michael Gove toy. Simples. They sure are that.
Hi, everyone. I'm Donald Tusk, President of the European Council.
Yes, and I'm Jean-Claude Juncker, President of the EU Commission. And we'd like to welcome you to
the Juncker Tusk EU Explainer Podcast.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yes. You know what else is fun?
Tell me now.
Being in the EU.
Of course, yeah. It is so cool and sexy.
Many British people are not experts on the EU, so this podcast will explain it clearly in your own language.
Perhaps we need some music to introduce it.
Funny you should say that.
Hey, Juncker, I loved that sting.
It's great, isn't it, Donald? And it only cost 50 million euros. That slightly different sting cost just 20 million euros.
Oh, stop. You're making my head spin with the value for money that the EU enables us to achieve.
So, Donald, do you know what the difference is between the EU Commission and the European Council?
No.
Simply put, the Commission is the executive of the EU and promotes its general interest, while the Council defines the EU's direction and identifies issues of general concern.
Yeah, that is amazing. I love how simple and straightforward all of it is.
Now it's time for
tweets to the show.
James wants to know why it costs 10,000 euros to subscribe to this podcast.
Well, James, firstly, you are wrong to question us. But the answer is that it's to pay for each episode to be translated into all 24 EU languages.
However, you are eligible to get some of your subscription back in the form of a rebate. Just fill in the 89-page online form and remember to be Belgian. Bye! Bye.
Hello?
Ah, if it isn't my old friend Priti Patel. I feel pretty, oh so pretty.
Stop calling, Mr. Farage. I thought I blocked your number.
Like all women, you thought wrong. Now, are you coming to the leave drinks or not?
Well, I assumed the restraining order would answer that question. I'm hanging up now. I can smell your boozy breath down the phone.
Ah, that's not down the phone. I'm in your house. I'm joking, I'm joking. I'm not in your house. I'm in your shed. Hello? Oh, well, must be a lesbian.
Yes, hello there, from me, Michael Parkinson. And I'm here to tell you young people not to vote. You kids simply trot off to Glastonbury and get totally mashed and have the time of your lives. And while you're doing that, us old people will amble down to the polling booths and completely destroy any future that you might have had after you've paid back your student loans. You millennial hipsters don't know you're born with your iPads and your iPhones. When we were your age, all we had was a living wage, clean air, unlimited Parker pens, and the ability to buy a five-bedroom house for sixpence. So, yes, whatever you do, make sure you're way too busy having fun on June the 23rd and leave the future of the country to people who still use the phrase a touch of the tar brush in polite conversation. Now, clear off and go and take a picture of your dinner and post it online like good little boys and girls. And why don't you let the grown-ups bugger this one up for you? Don't try to get us back for it, because if you look for us, we'll all be sunning ourselves in Spain or dead.
Hello, you have rung the telephone of Jeremy Corbyn. This might sound like a recording, but it is actually me. So please speak anyway.
Jeremy, Jezza. It's Dave Cameron, here at PM. Your best buddy in all the world.
Have you been drinking?
Of course I bloody have. Now shut up and listen. I'm going to lose the referendum. Seriously, I'm completely screwed. Boris is standing by my bedroom window, staring in at me and making slicing gestures on his neck. You have to help me stop the bastard.
Goodness me, you are in a bit of a pickle.
Please, Jeremy, make a speech about the EU and mean it. Help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope.
Well, I would like to save your political career, but I'm afraid I can't.
Well, why?
I do have my principles, David. I will just be like Tony Blair. I'm sure you'll understand.
Oh, no, don't hang up, please. Look, I'll let you be Prime Minister on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Goodbye. Oh, I did enjoy that. I don't think I'm going to need the picture of Barbara Castle tonight.
Dead Ringers was performed by John Culshaw, Lewis MacLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howard, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Laura Major, Jack Bernhardt and Liam Byrne. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Studios production.
Nigel Herbert Farage, organiser of the Super Fun Time Leave campaign, booze up.
Nigel, it's Tim. Tim Farron from the Liberal Democrats. The ones in the yellow ties. Bit awkward, but I wasn't invited to the Remain campaign drinks. But, I mean, a party is a party. And I heard you leavers were having a bash.
Nope.